Hallelujah. We're just grateful for what God is doing in the midst of this people. We are so grateful that our God is worthy. We are so grateful that we come in a posture to worship him. We are reminded of how it is holy ground wherever we find ourselves, wherever we call on the name of the Lord, inside or outside the sanctuary. It truly is holy ground. And for that, we give God praise for what God is doing. And we just so honor everybody that is joining us on live stream and in person here at Abundant Hope Christian Center. As always, I am honored and delighted to share the word of the Lord with you all while our pastor is in the midst of her absence on this morning. We're so grateful for God still being in the midst of what he is about to do in the midst of his people. So we are so grateful for what God has given on this morning, and I'm excited to share just a few notes, just a few things to just drop in your spirit on what God is doing in this season. So the scripture was already read, so I'm not going to read it. However, I do encourage you all, because it is a very, very thick and lengthy story. We read Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. I want you to keep in mind that to make sure that you read both Luke chapter 1 in its entirety, and that you also read Matthew chapter 1 and 2 in its variety, so you can get the full meat of what's going on with the story, as we see with what's going on with the young girl by the name of Mary, who we're going to discuss on this morning. So the title of my message on this morning is called The Inheritance Induced from an Impossible Instruction. The Inheritance Induced from an Impossible Instruction. Lord, I just thank you for this word. I thank you for the study. I thank you for the preparation. I thank you for how you have ministered this word to me over the course of my journey. So God, I'm ready to release this as a form of prayer, as a form of praise, as a form of worship, as a form of wisdom and instruction for your people. So use me for your glory and have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So one thing I love when we always talked about this big and awesome and mighty God that we serve, when we read all the scriptures, when we sing all of the songs, one thing we can agree on is the fact that God loves the impossible. That God loves, he loves doing the impossible. He loves showing us the impossible. He loves just inhabiting the impossible, because anytime something is impossible for man, it gives him the opportunity to show off his divinity. It gives him the opportunity to develop a human's testimony of him. I honestly believe that miracles, signs, and wonders is a love language from God that is supposed to disrupt your limitations. And I just want to say to you all on this morning that God is inviting you all to a season called the impossible, because God wants to strengthen your testimony. God wants to strengthen your relationship and your experience with him. And he wants your testimony to become impossible. And of course, if God wants to put you in impossible situations, of course, it's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to make sense. But I am a witness when I look back over the course of my life that every single instruction that I followed from God that seemed impossible always brought forth an inheritance, a natural and a spiritual inheritance of power, of confidence, of joy, of peace, of hope, because of the fact that I tapped into my identity as a son of Christ, where you can tap into your identity as a son and daughter of Christ, where the impossible is normal, where miracles, signs, and wonders is a normal occurrence for a child of God. So we see here in this story, especially as we reflect on what the Christian calendar calls Advent, where we choose this time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm always so overwhelmed by this story. I was always so blown away by it every time I heard it as a child because of just how miraculous his birth was. One thing I love about Jesus' entire life was that every part of his life was miraculous. His conception was miraculous. His birth was miraculous. His death and resurrection were all miraculous. And what I love about it is, of course, in order for Jesus to come here, there had to be a willing vessel. There had to be a chosen vessel that could be trusted with the task of bearing him in their body, in their flesh, so that God can do a perpetual miracle that would last for the rest of eternity. And God ends up choosing a young girl by the name of Mary. Mary is believed to be anywhere from the age of a teenager to a young adult, could be as young as like 14, 15 years old, or even in her early 20s. But all we know is that God has had a special eye on this young girl named Mary. Things are going pretty good for Mary. You know, she has recently been chosen, you know, put together with a awesome young man named Joseph. You know, he got it going on. You know, he has a nice job. You know, he has a good head on his shoulders. And even though they try not to focus on the name, he comes from a very special line of people. He ends up coming from the line of David, from David's lineage, the King David. And of course, you know, it was a pretty good setup. And things seem to be pretty secure for Mary, one who was integral, one who wasn't in trouble, one who was considered faithful and pure, you know. And then one day, the angel of the Lord visits her and just stops everything to tell her, "I have something to tell you, young girl. God has chosen you. God has called you to carry his son." And of course she said, "How is that even possible? Like, first of all, how can I carry any child if me and Joseph have not been married and do what married people do? How are we gonna have a child without the human process that you left for us?" And how the Lord said to tell the angel to tell Mary, "I got it," that the Lord's gonna literally touch you. He's gonna just place your hand on your womb. And from that moment that he places his hand on your womb, the baby will begin to grow from there. And even though she doesn't say in this passage, I could only imagine that there were all types of millions of other questions that were popping up in her mind, which I'm going to get to in a second. But one thing I wanted to start with saying, you know, one thing I love is that when God tells you to walk in something that's impossible, it is also immaculate. And immaculate is a fancy word in the Catholic Church. That's just used to mean, you know, pure, holy, divine. And that everything that God does, he does it well, and it's always immaculate. They call it in the Catholic Church the Immaculate Conception, because it was a pure and holy conception that is literally impossible to bring forth. And one thing I love in this season is that God has declared your process holy, that God has declared your process pure, because some of the things that he wants to do, it's not going to be seen as pure. It's not going to be understood as holy because of the things he has to do in order to strengthen you, in order to prepare you for the plan that he has for you. So he declared that this is going to be an immaculate conception. This is divine, that because I know what I'm about to do, it may disrupt, it may cause some interesting things to happen. But if you trust me, the miracle and the breakthroughs and the blessings that's going to come after this season, after this season of being misunderstood, of being confused. This the things that's going to come out of your womb, the fruit that's going to come from you, from your womb, is going to literally bless the rest of eternity. So when God is blessing you, he is blessing you literally with an immaculate conception. And with that immaculate conception, he is making you impregnable. Because even though, like how Mary said, I haven't been with a physical person, so there is no way that I should be able to give birth to anything. And some of us in this season, there are things and purposes and businesses and ministries and assignments that God has called us to birth. But just like Mary, we are saying the same question. We are telling God, I heard you. I understood the assignment with my mind. But even though I understand the assignment, the people around me don't understand the assignment. Even though I understand the assignment, my bank account doesn't understand the assignment. My health doesn't understand the assignment. You know, there's so many things that I thought I would need to do this, and you're still telling me to do it anyway. But that's why it's about to be an immaculate conception, where God is still able to allow you to become impregnated with what he has called you to do, in spite of you not having everything that you think you need. Because after all you literally need is God, because you're talking to a God that made everything out of nothing in the beginning of time. So this thing, these instructions that God are giving you, they're immaculate, you know, that, and you know, you are impregnable. You're not barren. Even if people have made you think you're barren, you are not barren. If you felt like you've been barren, your barren season is coming to a close, because now you can say, I'm not going to wait another season for so-and-so to catch on. I'm not going to wait for a man or woman to tell me what God's been telling me over and over and over again. I am deciding that I am going to accept his will and accept his purpose and rely and lean on his supernatural provision. And it's important to trust God with the impossible instructions in your life, because they will be inspirational to other people. Because when the word, I love the words that, you know, like where we get the words like, you know, inspire, aspire, spirit. Well, all those words basically mean is like, you know, you're literally giving life to somebody. And of course, I love, that's why I encourage you all, because it's too thick of a story to make sure that you read, you know, Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1 and 2. The story is so thick and long. But of course, you know, Mary's obedience would inspire others. It would inspire her cousin Elizabeth, who also is carrying at this time, because Elizabeth actually did get pregnant a little bit before Mary. But of course, when they got together, when they connected with one another, it said something happened where it said she felt the presence of God. And not only did she feel the presence of God, but the baby inside of Elizabeth began to weep and testify that, look, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm not even breathing yet. My eyes ain't open yet. But I feel my cousin in the corner. And I know that when we come together a few years from now, we are about to change the trajectory of the entirety of humanity. And that is why it's important to be and to allow your testimony and allow your process to be an inspiration to others. Because one thing we always glamorize is a completed thing. We always like it. Okay, we can celebrate when the business is making 6-7 figures. We can celebrate when the church becomes a mega church. Hello, you know. We can celebrate when somebody made it to the top. But I want to find some people. I want to find some Elizabeths in my life who can celebrate with me during the journey, while we're during a difficult season, while we're being misunderstood, while we might possibly be ostracized or what we're carrying. I want somebody that can trust me and celebrate God in the process. Because one thing people need in this season, as you heard me talk about a few weeks ago, is the transparency. Because if people see you being transparent during the process, they will be inspired to get up on their feet. It's like, okay, I don't see the full product, but I know they're going somewhere. And if they're going somewhere with the little that they have, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do what God has called me to do as well. Because all we are just examples of faith. Because if you notice, like in the Catholic Church, you notice, of course, they definitely place a very, very, very major emphasis on Mary. You know, I want to honestly say that you borderline, not even borderline, you know, but it's basically worship her and pray to her, you know, her, and then they have all the other saints, because, you know, all the saints, they're all different, like, you know, preachers, priests, monks, all these saints that did some very powerful and amazing things when, you know, during their journey with the Lord. But God never wanted us to worship the examples. He just wanted us to learn from them. So in a not so corrupt context, that should be what God wants to do with us, where he makes our name great like Abraham. He doesn't want people to worship us, but he wants our faith and our journey and our surrender to be an admirable example that they can follow, because it is not our goal for people to worship us. Oh, look what they did. Look how they started with nothing. Look how they rose up to the top. No, they want to be able to say, oh, I'm so grateful for God blessing them, because I know if he blessed them, I know he can bless me. So it is our goal to be inspirational. That's why you need to accept the impossible instruction, so that people can be inspired to receive and obey and surrender to their impossible instructions, because they don't need a finished product. They need to see you in process. So allow yourself to surrender so that you can be an inspiration to others. We all know that the impossible instructions are infuriating. They're not just only infuriating to us, but they're infuriating to the people around us. Because we know, based off, this is why I said, like, I'm going to say through every point, read the whole story, because there was a whole nother conversation that the angel of the Lord had with the man that Mary was supposed to be connected to. Because, of course, they don't show the actual conversation, but we do. Can when you look at both of the scriptures, you can tell that at one point or another, she had to tell the news to Joseph and basically said, I don't know how to say this, but I'm pregnant. Pregnant with who?
With what?
Who did you sleep with? You got me looking out here like a fool. You know we can get stoned for this. You know I could throw you out there and everybody will kill you on the spot.
That's right.
I have been preparing this house for you. I've been nothing but faithful to you. And this is what you do. And then, you know. It was God told me that he placed his son inside of.
He said that.
So are you trying to tell me? Are you now not only you lying, now you blaspheming on God? Talk about he hit it first before me. What you talking about? I'm not crazy. I can't explain. I know what God is doing is messing up what we're supposed to have. I know it's an inconvenience, but I can't make this up. That's what he told me. It's been real. It's been fun, but I'm sorry. I love you. I love you, but I can't go through with this. So, yeah, I'm going to just, I don't want you to die, though, because I do love you, care for you. But all these lies, now you lying on God. I'm sorry. You can't just accept the fact that you cheated. Let's break up quietly because I don't want you to die. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want to be publicly humiliated either. I love you dearly, but may the Lord watch you see me and D, you know, deuces. I ain't going back and forth with you. I ain't going back and forth with God. I don't got time for this. I'll see you later. I'll see you later. And then next thing you know, while he's in hiding, God sends an angel and says, why are you hiding in that closet? Why are you hiding in that closet? God, this woman is talking about you impregnated her. How am I supposed to feel about that? But what do you do when God says no to your no? What do you do when you was ready to quit and you felt like your reasons were valid? God, this calling cost me my friends. It cost me my family. It cost me my health. It cost me everything. I feel like I'm justified for quitting. I feel like I'm justified for abandoning the assignment. And God sent an angel to Joseph to say, I know you're infuriated, but if you would just trust me and trust the assignment that I'm calling you to, if you would open your eyes and see that I am trusting you with the king of the entire universe, you could put your little pride aside. You could put your humiliations aside. You could put your fear aside. And you could walk with me. You could walk with Mary. You could walk with my son and be the ultimate example of a stepfather. Because God is calling for stepfathers and stepmothers, naturally and spiritually, who can stand in the gap and protect what is not theirs. We had a Bible study series the last few months on stewardship, and that was the ultimate test for Joseph about being a steward of something that is not his, of something in someone that was considered controversial. Because like I said, God's calling on your life will be controversial. It will make people mad. It will make people roll their eyes. It will make people possibly want to stone you, not just spiritually, but even naturally, because they will try. They will try to sabotage. They will try to hunt you down. They will try to spread dirt on your name. They will try to spin the story. But as long as I know what God told me, I don't have to explain it to you, because my process is mine and mine alone, and it is literally none of your business. I'm getting frustrated because, like I said, the impossible instructions that I have to follow. It's been immaculate because I look at where God has brought me from, and I didn't have anything. I still don't have the things that I think I need, but I'm standing in a place that I never thought I would be standing in.
Come on, God.
I thought there were seasons where I was barren, but he impregnated me in such a supernatural way that I was able to give birth when I really still thought I was barren. He allowed my journey to be transparent so that it could be an inspiration to others. And I had to let go of being infuriated by his plan and let go of how I felt when other people got infuriated by his plan. I had to let go of how it felt when even religious people were infuriated by what God was doing in my life, when they couldn't understand, because your obedience will get you in trouble with religious people, but it's not meant for them to understand. So I had to surrender my moments of feeling infuriated, because I had to realize my plans are interruptible. I had to understand that I could have a vision board. I could have a, by this time next year, I'm going to be my boo thing. By this time next year, I'm going to be a millionaire. By this time next year, I'm going to be on a Tyler Perry show, all these different things. I can have all these plans, and then I get frustrated because God wrecked my plans. Yes, sometimes the enemy does get involved, but one thing you got to remember, when you look at the book of Job, the enemy can only do but so much as God allows him to. And we have to remember that there is a sometimes where God himself will wreck your plans. That thing that you're saying, I'll bind the devil on that situation and it ain't the devil, it's all God. What even though it's rough, even though it's confusing, God wrecked this plan up. And when God wrecks your plans, there's nothing you can do but surrender. There is no such, I'm a witness, there is no such thing as a plan A, plan B, plan C. There's nothing. The only plan, right, there's only a plan called G-O-D. That's the only plan that makes sense. So you got to let go of feeling inferior. You got to let go of being worried how people will treat you when they don't understand. And once you accept that, the fact that your plans can be interrupted, that's when you can begin to align yourself, align your heart to match the will of God. Because honestly, part of having your plans interrupted is where sometimes you wanted a public miracle, you wanted a public success, but when God has to do this thing incognito, another fancy word for invisible. Because we know how what happened, you know, once Joseph, you know, let me do this again. So you don't argue with me, Joseph? Yes, God.
Get out there, God.
Fix your face, Joseph.
Fix your face.
All right. All right. Mary, I'm sorry. Take me back. One thing I love about that story is I can only imagine. I really wish they had the conversation. But I could only imagine the relief in Mary's heart. Because Joseph didn't want to really let her go. And I know Mary didn't want to let him go either. But the fact that he was willing to walk in this process and look, this still won't make no sense to me. But because I love you and because I trust God and because I trust the God in you, I'm willing to cover you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm not just going to be like, oh, you and God handles. No, I'm going to walk in this process with you because I don't know what's going on. I'm fussing now. I don't even know what it's about to cost me. I didn't know you that I'm about to go on this long journey. But because I love you, because I love God, I'm going to go with you no matter where this takes us. And it took them on a very long, painful journey. You know, it was already a very interesting season where they said everywhere they went to find shelter, it was full. It was crowded. They was literally traveling. That was must have been extremely uncomfortable for Mary because I'm like, this is not the proper condition. I need to be relaxing. I need to be resting. I need to be eating. But I'm busy traveling. And there was no other places I could go because if we stayed home and did this, there's still going to be speculation. I can't go back home because of the speculation. All everywhere else I want to go, there's no room for what I'm trying to give birth to. There's no room where I can safely give birth without having to worry about the wrong hands being in the birthing womb. And it sucks when you imagine where your birthing places would be, where you imagined what it would look like when you did certain things in your life. And God does it in some very unusual ways. And he does it with people that the people that you're so grateful that you found. But let's be honest, there are times where you still kind of wish that certain people were there, where God even ripped you away from somebody that you thought had a name, thought had a reputation, thought was the ultimate hookup. I said, whether that was ministry, whether that was marriage, whether that was the marketplace, who you thought was going to be the way that your life would go better from there. And God is like, nope. I'm calling you to an interesting place. I'm calling you to a secret place. Yeah. I'm actually calling you to a dirty place. Yeah. The Holy King of the universe, coming in the form of his son, not born in a fancy palace, not even born in a nice room or hotel, not even a hospital, but in a manger.
Jesus.
Probably stink. Probably. You know, animal waste all over the place. And how apparently that messy place was more spiritually sanitary than anywhere else. When you're complaining about how things aren't all together, but this is the safest place. I always see this post on Facebook all the time for years. It says, there is no safer place in the world than in the will of God. And it hurts when God calls you to give birth in an uncomfortable place. But that is the safest place, because they don't even know that there is about to be a whole demonic onslaught on this birth. And, you know, all the things that the enemy tried to interrupt, you know. That's why I thank God for Joseph being an intercessor and a praying man. He had to be a praying man for angels to be popping up to him. Because if he wasn't sensitive to the spirit of the Lord, and if he messed up and exposed Mary, threw him out there, the enemy would have had his way, and both Mary and the baby would have been killed right there on the spot. You know, the enemy wanted to abort the marriage, but Joseph was still a praying man, and he was able to accept the will of God. So they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that allowed them to be able to go to this unusual place, so that when people that God sent, and I love how God sent them, it was actually the evil King Herod at the time that asked people to go and see, there's a new king that's being born. Can you tell me where he at? And they went and they found him. But they said, no, we can't do this. Something's not right. An angel even helped them remind, no, something's not right. We're actually awestruck to see this precious little baby, but we can't go back and talk to him because he actually doesn't have the right motives. And that's why I'm grateful that sometimes God allows you to be in that hidden place, so that when word gets to you that there is an attack with your name on it, you're already in the strong tower that the righteous run to and are safe. So I'm not going to complain that even if the strong tower is not the cleanest room, doesn't feel the most comfortable, this is the safest place. So don't despise your hidden season. Give birth. You act like the birthing is the only moment. The birthing is just the beginning. There's going to be plenty of time for God to allow your gifts and your talents and your anointing to flourish, so that it can be a blessing to many. But in that hidden season, don't despise it. Do not despise the small beginning, because God, the same glory that people think that, oh, all of a sudden the glory comes when things blow up. No, that was the same glory when there was nobody there. That was the same glory that was in your prayer closet. That was the same glory that kept you alive when you was on that ventilator last year. That's that same glory when you was in private. So do not despise the small hidden season, that incognito season. Well, if you notice where I'm going, there's a lot of eyes in this lesson, and we are almost done. And what I love about the incognito season is I love how the pain, the birthing pains on the inside and the outside, it finally does cause you to become inducible, because of the fact that I'm in so much pain, I literally got to push to get some relief. And what the miracle is, God has induced my labor in this season where even though I'm in such a difficult place, even though I don't have access to the anesthesia, I don't have access to things and to people and to comfort that would make this process a bit smoother, some way and somehow I am still giving birth to miracles. Some way and somehow I am still giving birth to the things God has placed inside of me. Even though it's painful, he doesn't want me to rely on the anesthesia of certain connections, the anesthesia of all these different, like, you know, of, yeah, different people, leaning on people, leaning on habits. He wanted me to rely on him so that he can be my strength, so that he can be my peace, so that I could realize I could do all things through him who gives me strength. So I'm grateful that the recipe of the unusual season I'm in is right so that God could induce my labor. And I'm just so grateful that after God induced the labor and out, God just orchestrated this powerful, beautiful testimony and story of the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that once you follow through in the impossible instruction, everything that God wants to do in your life is inevitable. Because I remember if anybody was on the prayer call a few days ago, I declared a word that said the abortion is aborted, the assignment is aborted, that the assignment that was on your life has been canceled. And one thing that I want to encourage you is that sometimes it may not feel like it, that even though the assignment is canceled, now you got to wrestle through the emotions, now you got to wrestle with the trauma, you got to wrestle with healing. But once you do, you're going to realize the assignment is canceled. The enemy can't stop me. So now I'm not going to get in the way of stopping myself. Amen. So that's why I'm so grateful that what God is doing in your life is inevitable. No matter who tries to come in the way, no type of spiritual principality, natural man or woman, not even yourself, your own doubts, your own fears, your own insecurities, that none of that can get in the way of what God is doing in your life. Because once you go through all these things, once you receive that inheritance that is birthed by these impossible instructions to trust God and give you an immaculate conception, to realize that you don't have to be barren anymore, that God himself is impregnating you without everything and everyone that you needed, to realize that your testimony, your process is inspirational, to realize that you got to let go of feeling infuriated and allowing your plans to be interrupted, to realize that you should have despised that incognito season so that God can give you the right recipe to have an induced labor to produce that inevitable miracle. Because the miracle that God is about to birth through you is not just for you, but it shall be intergenerational. Because what God did back then has blessed so many people up till now. Because of Mary's obedience, because of Joseph willing to take Mary back and walk with her and trust God during this process, they produced an intergenerational miracle that was saved so many lives. And I am so grateful for Mary and Joseph's surrender and obedience to those impossible instructions, because their impossible instructions gave me the impossible miracle of having access to eternal life when I shouldn't have, because of our forefathers' sin and because of my own sin. But because they were trusted to carry the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I am able to stand here and boldly proclaim his word. Whenever I meet God, I'm able to now boldly approach the throne of grace in a time of need. Because of them, Jesus is now our Savior. Because of them, Jesus is now our Deliverer. Because of them. I can go to him anytime I need him. And that's why I'm so grateful for their impossible instructions, because it always gives me faith to walk out in my impossible instructions. And I encourage you all today in this room and on Facebook to be obedient to the impossible instruction, because whatever you are called to birth in this season, and whoever you are called to train, raise, and steward, even if they are not your own, God will show you that it truly is not impossible, because you got to trust God like Mary did, because only if you knew what is going to be produced on this miracle, if only you knew the type of people that will be inspired by the things that you were called to do. Because I love that song that says, Mary, did you know that one day your baby's going to walk on water? Mary, did you know that he's going to save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child that you have delivered will soon deliver you? Did you know that he was going to heal people? Did you know that he was going to raise people from the dead? Did you know that on one Friday on Calvary, he was going to die for the sins of the entirety of humanity? Did you know that he was going to be raised from the dead? Did you know that he was going to birth a whole entire church that will last for the rest of eternity? So that's why I can't get stuck in my feelings on what God is doing in my life right now, because there is a whole legacy, there is a whole inheritance that's going to be laid up for my children and my grandchildren, and how many generations come from me until the Lord comes back. So I refuse to not obey the impossible instruction, because I'm so grateful that I can walk with a God who's going to make sure that I have the strength to walk through the impossible instruction, because I'm grateful that I don't have to rely on my own strength, on my own joy, on my own attempts at peace, on my own attempts at hope, because I'm so grateful that joy is a person, that peace is a person, that hope is a person, that love is a person, and his name is Jesus. The name that they call him also was Emmanuel, meaning that God is with us. And I'm so grateful on this morning that God is with me, and I'm grateful that he answered my cry when I said, oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that lords in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. So rejoice, rejoice, because Emmanuel has come. So that's why I want to remind you as I close that you better not pout, you better not cry, you better not shout, because I'm telling you why. Because Emmanuel is coming to town. Emmanuel is going to heal my family. Emmanuel is going to heal my broken heart. Emmanuel is going to give me the ability to fulfill the impossible instruction. Because with God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And he is still working miracles, and it is happening right now according to your faith. So trust God with the impossible instruction like Mary and Joseph did, for there is a legacy of miracles, signs, and wonders, and glory, and hope, and strength behind that obedience.